What I want to do is recap, because what I'm talking about today is going to follow up from my previous two preachers. And the one is about the knowledge of God, and the second one, drawing close to God. And I'm not sure if you can remember it, but as I go through it quickly, you'll probably remember some points that I've made. But normally when you preach, you know, some preachers you think, oh my goodness, is this it, you know? I could have done more. I must have said this. Why didn't I leave this out? Why didn't I include that? But these two that I did probably had the biggest impact on myself. And I preach, you know, so it's a bit weird. But anyway, I really think it's a word from God. So what I've mentioned my previous a few weeks ago, a knowledge of God, and I said God's desire is that we will know Him, but not just with head knowledge, but with heart knowledge. I mean, it's the easiest thing just to be religious, and you can sit in the church for 30 years, memorize scripture, but not have a relationship with God. And it's easy to have head knowledge. That's what the Pharisees had in Jesus' time. And look, they had amazing head knowledge, but no heart knowledge. And God wants to change that. He wants to give us more and more heart knowledge and not just that we live our Christian lives with head knowledge. And the only way that we can have heart knowledge of God is if God grants it to us. It must come from God. So I said, there's no thing or way or thing that you can do to get a revelation of God, to get a revelation of Scripture. I mean, you can meditate and study and go over scripture all you want, but you won't be able to get it in your heart. It's only by the Holy Spirit that He comes. God lifts the lid and He makes known in your heart that wasn't known before. And that's revelation. God highlights, He illuminates, He reveals something about Himself, some of His Word, and that creates heart knowledge. And I said we can't get to know God out of self-effort. Knowledge of God comes by revelation. He gives it. He makes it known. He makes known that was hidden. Then the following week, I spoke about seeking God and drawing close to Him, the searching heart. And I spoke about Hosea 10:12, where God wants us to have a harvest, harvest a crop of His unfailing love. And He wants us to plow up the hard ground of our hearts because it's time to seek Him, time to seek the Lord. And I spoke about getting our hearts ready. Then I spoke about Hebrews 11:6, and it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And I mentioned, have you ever thought what that reward looks like? When God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And to be honest, I've never thought about that. But I said this, by believing that God exists and seeking Him earnestly, you draw near to God and start to have a conviction that He is real. The result is God rewards those who seek Him. How does He reward those who seek Him? By responding to the searching heart. So God responds to the searching heart. He uncovers or illuminates the truth that He is real. And the result is faith and hope is birthed. The reality of God, the awareness that God is real, is hidden and cannot be seen unless He uncovers the truth about Himself to the searching heart. And when I read that, it's actually, you know, it sounds okay, that sounds normal. The reality of God, the awareness of God, that He is real, is hidden. And I think it's easy to hear that and say, yeah, I agree with that. I do that. I follow that. But the reality is, as we go through life and we face challenges, you know, looking for a job, finding, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? What direction do I head in? What do I do with relationships? What do I do with all the problems I've got? All those things. And the more those things get compacted and compacted, we forget about God. We forget about His the awareness. We forget that He is real. And those things become hidden. God becomes almost hidden. But today I want to talk about, so we spoke about knowledge of God, seeking God, and God revealing himself, God revealing truth about himself. So today I want to speak to when God reveals himself, what does he reveal him as? And the two things I want to speak about, he reveals himself as the living God. And secondly, he reveals himself in a personal way. And those things I want to have a look at today. So God reveals himself as the living God. And I said, why is this important to know? Why is it important to have a revelation of God revealing himself as the living God? So if you think about the Old Testament, I mean, Paul and everywhere they mention it, all the different gods that was available. On the one city had hundreds or thousands of gods, but they were all dead. And there are so many accounts in the Bible where you can read where the prophets of God, they come up against all these other gods that's dead. And they start to mock him. So where are your God? Maybe he's sleeping. Or pick him up. He fell over. Whatever. And God is the only real living God. All the other gods are dead gods. And we see references of maybe, you know, wake up your God. Or, you know, or people take an object and they chisel out a statue and that is their God. But to be honest, they don't have hands, they can't walk, they can't speak, they can't think, they're all dead. But then we see this thing where God reveals himself and he mentions a few scriptures and he says, where he makes reference to he is the living God. And why is that important? Why is that important? We think, I mean, we don't really have statues and dead gods that we worship. We don't have little Buddhas. I mean, in Thailand, they do. They have little fat golden Buddha statues everywhere, in front of shops, and they've got dead gods. But it's not always that simple. I mean, we have gods in our own lives. I mean, I think the most the biggest one that wants to be known is I myself. You know, we want to be God. So, God, your will, rather my will, my way, my likes, my dislikes. God, you'll go second best. And so I can make myself a God. You can make yourself a God. We can do things like our bodies, what we look like, hobbies, sport, jobs, lack of job, relationships, wife or not having a wife, having a husband, not having a husband. All those issues can become major issues and we push God to the side. And we make other things become the God in our life. So what? Like Mark says, so what? And the thing is, the living God is the only God who not only lives, but brings life and creates life and restores life. And that is the major difference between God and any other God who wants to be God. Even if you want to make yourself God or your body or whatever, the only one who can bring life and restores life is the living God. And so I want to read a couple of scriptures quickly that makes reference to that. Matthew 16:16, we all know this. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." Then we've got Jeremiah 10:10, and it says, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the eternal King." Hebrews 12:22, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." And we see this picture unfolding in the Bible that God is actually the only true living God, that no other God is the living God. And God is the only one who brings life and can restore life. And I want you to take a moment to think about this quickly. So in your life, what are the areas or situations that you think, man, it is dead or it feels dead? Or what are the situations or areas in your life that you feel, man, it's dry and it's hard? Life is hard. I need the river of God to come and flush that, you know, to bring life. And that can be anything. That can be, like I mentioned before, it can be your job or looking for a job. It can be your future where you said, where do I go from here? What direction do I take? You know, what has God planned for me? Or is this life? Is this what I have to endure, you know, in my job? I hate it, but that's just what it is. I don't think that's where God wants us to be. I don't think so. What about relationships? You know, we struggle with relationships. I mean, God doesn't want to keep us there. Or anything else. Maybe hopes and dreams. Maybe prophetic words that you felt, man, I haven't seen anything. I don't think it's ever going to happen. Or what about maybe your relationship with God? You feel, phew, it feels a bit dry, you know. God feels a bit distant. I wonder if he's even real anymore. Those are all things that can have an impact. There can might be a lot more, maybe kids as well. But think of an area in your life that needs the life of God, that needs God to restore life or to breathe new life in, or areas that's dry that you need God to work in, that we need the breath of God. And the amazing thing of the living God is when we turn to him, we seek him, he lifts up the cover and he unveils or he illuminates himself. And he reveals himself as the living God. And we're going to trust God that he will do that today. And not only today. So I want, like I said afterwards, I want us to pray for another. But not just today, but I want us, the prayers we pray today and whatever God's doing today is to carry on into the week. And I had this picture as well while we're worshiping God, putting a little spark in hearts today, and it grows bigger and bigger at God's doing the work in us. And to be honest, some of the things I've mentioned there, I think we all can probably tick one of those boxes and say, oh, yes, God, absolutely. And I think relationship with him, I want to meet the person who says, oh, man, it can't get better. We're walking together. I hear him second by second, you know. I think there's all of those areas, there are aspects that at least we can grow in and move closer to God and hear him so that he can bring understanding. God is the only one who can restore life to these things because we cannot. No amount of Bible study, no amount of coming to church can restore life. God is the only one who can do that. And we're going to trust him to do that. And so I believe this morning that that's what God wants to do. He wants to breathe life in us. He wants to breathe his energy in us. He wants to restore things. He wants to revive things with his life. And if you can imagine a sick person lying in hospital in the bed, maybe got a heart attack, and they're trying to get his heart back up and running, and all of a sudden, beep, there's a little beep, and he's like, oh, we've got his heart, you know, he's back. But there's just a little blip and he's just breathing. I don't think God wants to do that. Because God is a God of abundance. He's a God of richness. He's a God of fullness. And we might not always see or understand that or perceive that. But that is who God is. And we're going to trust that whatever God revives or breathes life into, that he'll do it abundantly. That he's full of richness and fullness. And that those things will come in the areas that we're going to pray for. I just want to read this as well, Ezekiel 47, 8 to 9. And he says, and he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. And there's many references in the Bible. We hear about this river of God flowing from his temple. And God brings that river. And wherever that river goes, God creates life and he restores and he heals. And my prayer is that God will do that this morning. So God is not just the God of the Old Testament. You know, that's an Old Testament picture. But I believe that for today as well, we are. Secondly, I believe God wants to reveal truth about himself that he's a personal God. He's not a distant God. He's not a God that hides himself, that we have to do weird things. But God is a personal God. And we see throughout Scripture that God declares that he's a personal God. He enters into personal relationship. So God is not just a distant God, but God is the God of Armand, and he's the God of Josie and Justin and Pete and Aaron and Mel and Diane, and it carries on. And God is the God of Terry and Margs and Des, Dennis. Des is not here. Maybe he's a visitor that's coming. And so I can carry on. But God is the God of George, you know, Shammai, and every person that sits here. And God is a personal God. And we see that God is revealed in Jesus. God reveals himself as king, as judge, as shepherd, as husband, and as father. But ultimately, we see that picture, God reveals himself in Jesus. And we read in the Old Testament, we look at the life of Jesus, how Jesus is always busy with relationships. He built a relationship with his disciples, the team around him, and then he built a relationship with all sorts of people, sinners, tax collectors, name it, and Jesus builds relationship because he's a personal God. He's interested in their lives. And the same today, God is interested in your life and is interested in my life. He's interested in the things that you look at, that keep you busy, that excite you. God is interested in the little details of your life. We also see pictures in the Bible where it says, God is depicted in Scripture where we see he thinks, he feels, he thinks, he gets angry. And I think, wow, she's almost like a human, you know. And then we see pictures of his hands. And that one song we sang this morning where it says, God brings healing with his hands. I think, I can't remember exactly what it said. But this picture of hand, God's hand, as his hands bring healing. His hand is protection. His hand is provision. A picture that we see a picture of his arms, where his arm is strong enough. And we see Moses with his back and his face. So all of these pictures, I think God put there so we can have an understanding or understand his heart or what he's like, what his identity is like. God, we don't know. God is not physical. God is spirit. I mean, he's not a physical body that's going to walk through the door, but all those pictures help us to perceive God as personal. You know, he's got feelings, he's got a face, he's got hands, arms, his feet, all of that, so that we can understand better. And God reaches out to us and to give us understanding so that we can rely on him, so we can open ourselves up and say, yes, I want this God that's personal, I want this living God in my life. Mm. We always see Jesus. You know, I love the stories in the New Testament where that the one lady was caught in adultery. They brought her into the group. They said, okay, let's stone her. And Jesus is not doing anything. And they talked to him, and he's not doing anything. And he said, okay, anyone who's without sin, pick up the first stone. And all of a sudden, they just dropped it. They just walk away. And Jesus just looks at her and he says, you know, you can go, but don't do it again. And I think so many times we, in modern day church, will take the woman and, oh, what have you done? And, you know, give her counseling. And what? And Jesus is so full of grace. And he says, don't do it again. You know, he can see where she's at. He meets that lady where she's at. And the same for today. Jesus will meet us where we're at. And I think so many times we want to batter and bruise ourselves. And we want to think, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not reading enough. I'm not doing this enough. I'm not doing that enough. And Jesus understands and he meets you where you're at. And the only thing we have to do is open ourselves, make ourselves available, and say, yes, God. So God is the personal God who loves you and is interested and is passionate about your life. And so this morning, I want to pray for us that God wants to, that God will come, first of all, and restore life in different areas. I want to pray that God will not only restore life, but if there's areas that's dry, that God will come and refresh that. And then secondly, also that God will strengthen us. And if you just think about this morning, I mean, how many people are sick? How many people are away? Poor Barry, there was a break-in at the school. He's not here. And we need God's strength, especially in modern-day world, to stand and not to be distracted. And we need God's strength because, I love the scripture that Ian brought from Singapore at the last family camp. And he said in Romans, there's a verse that says, and we will crush the head of the devil, of the enemy. And he says, you know, we think it's not going to be by weapons or anything like that, but it's by living in this upside-down kingdom. So whenever deserves anger or deserves a slap, we do the opposite. And wherever we walk, we bring forgiveness. If someone deserves a slap, we don't. If someone deserves anger as a response, we don't. If someone don't deserve forgiveness, we forgive. And that is exactly what he's talking about. But to do that, we need the strength of God. It's impossible to do that by ourselves. We cannot live that life by ourselves. I want to pray that God will strengthen us, that it will bring new life, and that we'll meet with him, and that he'll do a work in our hearts, and just fire up those areas in our lives that's a bit dormant, that needs the life of God.